Tonight on Ham Nation, our club spotlight features Route 66, Bob puts up a new dipole, and Quartz Fest, it goes back to its roots. Stay tuned. Ham Nation's next.
Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 469, September 2nd, 2020. Talking Route 66 on the air special event.
Hi, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID, and we're here with Ham Nation. We got a lot of good things tonight, so another charming program. And there are things that you're going to learn. First of all, we're going to talk about what this is and what you can do with it. George is going to be here in a little bit. Amanda's in the wings, so what can I tell you? And one of my good buddies, long time back from Kansas, is going to be here. Matt's got things to tell us about Route 66, so let's see what we got. Gordo, how are you doing? You all right?
We are fine. We so much appreciate the chat room. Joel, W7PDX, says a great job on talking about the commercial ticket, but he said the numbers in the commercial ticket don't stand for what grade of license you have, but rather your district. So, wow, I learned something new every time from the chat room. Back to you, Bob.
Okay. Don, how you doing? You okay?
Yeah, we're perfect. Of course, you know, we dodged a bullet with Hurricane Laura that went into Lake Charles, so no issues here. We're watching the tropics. There's pretty active. September 10th is the meteorological peak of Atlantic hurricane season, so we're, of course, watching that. Speaking of hurricanes, we did the Hurricanes Katrina and Rita 15th anniversary special event over the weekend. I know we had probably 260 phone contacts and more on CW. So we're the cards are rolling in there, and Kansas CUSO party did well. And I'm interested in hearing about the Route 66 on the air deal, because I love that thing.
Yes, I do too. We're going to have the man that's going to help us in the new station and all that. By the way, Don, did everything go okay on the, I guess the 15th? Did they have some big time events in New Orleans for that?
More remembrances, I think, than anything. It was fairly quiet. I didn't really hear much. I think most of the spotlight was on, you know, Lake Charles and Cameron Parish and those people over in who had just finished up, getting a Category 4 150-mile-an-hour hurricane in. So we weren't really worried about ourselves and what happened to us 15 years ago. We were more worried about them and what happened to them 48 hours earlier. So, but, yeah, there were remembrances for sure, both public and private. But sure. I think our minds were on Lake Charles because we've been there.
You've been there and done that. I hear you.
Yes.
Well, and lost the t-shirt. We're getting all cranked up for Route 66. Personally, I've been involved in it since I moved down to the Ozarks. They didn't have the mother lode, which is Springfield. That's where Route 66 was born. And I worked with them for a couple of years till somebody had dropped out. They only have so many stations online that have to be on the route. But somebody dropped out in Kansas, and guess who picked it up? My good buddy, Matt. Matt, how are you doing? You okay?
Good evening, Bob. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
That's good. I want you to be real good, because you're working on those big, heavy tractors. I don't want something to fall on you. As big as the tractors that Matt works on, if a bolt fell on him, he might break your leg. So
me neither.
being soon. Well, let's get started here. And I'm going to run through all of these slides, and I want you to narrate what's going on. First of all, you got W6M, right? Tell me about how you got that.
Yes, sir. Well, end of July, Jeff W6JJR had sent me an email as the president of the Western Kansas Amateur Radio Club, asking if we'd be interested in operating as representing the state of Kansas in the Route 66 special event. And I called him, and we visited on the phone, about a two-hour phone conversation. And when we got done, I said, yes, we absolutely would. And so that's kind of how it all started. And then when we got home, I was on vacation at the time he called. And when we got home and got all situated, well, we started making plans. And then that's when the card come around that we was able to get them made and update the QRZ page and apply for the call sign with the league and start getting all the legalities taken care of for the event. And we've put together a real nice team to represent Whiskey 6 Mexico, or Mike, and everybody's looking real forward to it.
Well, one of the things I was talking to somebody on the air a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about Route 66, and they said, well, I told them about you in Canada. Route 66 doesn't go through Kansas. You better check your map, buddy. A lot of people don't. It only goes through in the corner. That's all. That's all. There you see it here down in that corner, but it's there. Well, let's go on here, and we'll pick up some things and tell us what we're seeing. Go ahead.
All right. This is a new building I built at my QTH about 4 years ago, and it has lovingly become known as the world headquarters for the Western Kansas Amateur Radio Club. There's a 20 by 24 room inside, and that's where I'm at right now. Just beyond that door there behind the flag, and that's the radio room. And we have a kitchenette in there and all the facilities you need for a long contest. This is the antenna farm here at the station. We got a three elements on HF, the tri-bander there, five elements on six, 11 elements on 2 meters, and the tower on the left is supporting the wire antennas. UHF, VHF, and a repeater antenna at the very top. That's a fold-over tower. This was a Kansas CUSO party just last weekend. That's Jim AC0E in the foreground, and yours truly in the background. And we were hurriedly trying to log all the contacts we could. And that's one of the main operating tables in the shack. We have typically three transmitter positions there on that one bench. This was field day last year, and that's Gerald KG0VA, and he was operating FT8 there. And that's in front of the vintage position. This is the 7610 position. We've kind of done some changing around here since these pictures. We've got the PRAS Heil system with that rig, and it works wonderfully. And there's an old tornado on top. And this is the you know, the required S line. I bought that. That was you know, some people go to Hamfest and buy radios. I go to Hamfest and buy a souvenir, and that S line was my souvenir for the first time I ever got to go to Dayton. Super Pro 600, nice. Just below, was restored by my very good friend KD0ZS Chuck, who is now SK, and that'll be around here for a long time. And the Ranger is one I restored It belonged to a very dear friend of mine in the past. So that's kind of a memorial station and one of my favorite AM positions there.
Yeah.
Some more vintage gear, 51 J4 on the left. And the transmitter to the right is a 32 V2 that was a souvenir from the first time I went to Albuquerque. And 32 V1 to the right of that, which is a transmitter I picked up from a friend down in Tulsa several years ago. On the top shelf to the left is a Herestal 2-meter mobile transmitter and a Mars Thunderbird next to the helicopter speaker. Boat anchors are kind of my love in the hobby. This is what we call the log here at KD0EZS. And if you're a ham and visit the shack, this is a supporting beam for the ceiling. We ask that you put your name, call sign, year, your license with a Sharpie right there on the wall. We've had several visitors, and we're happy to have anyone come here and visit, operate, hang out, whatever. In the background is the microphone and trinket display shelf.
I see a sign back there. If I bring all my tubes out there, you're going to test them? That's what the sign says.
That's right, Bob. If you bring your tubes, I will test them. We got several good tube testers here. We'd be happy to do that for you.
That is really cool. What a great station.
That license plate on the wall was, if you go back one more, Victor, I'm sorry. K0WPM is the Western Kansas Amateur Radio Club call sign. And that was my dad's call sign. And when he went SK, my friend AC0E and I put the club together and applied for that call sign for a vanity call. And he had a very large part to do with that. And I want to thank him for that because it keeps dad's call on there. And it's very, very personal thing for me.
Yeah, that's great. And, of course, this is kind of dear to me.
And me too. That was a very fun day.
Yep, he came to Pleasant Hope, and what more? He had to go home with an ICO. Well, these are great things. But tell us a little bit about what you have planned, the date and so on, and what you're going to do for the Route 66 on the air.
Well, we've got a Google Documents schedule set up, and all the team members have got a copy of that, and it's a real-time schedule. And we can go in there, and there's cells where you can go in there and put your call sign, and it'll tell you which band and frequency and mode that you're on. And we're going to use that so to keep us all organized because we have – 10 members on this team. Everybody's going to basically run from home. We're going to have a kickoff event here at the headquarters prior to the opening weekend of the event. And we'll operate from here. And then everybody after the kickoff's over will go home and operate from their home stations. We have several members that vary from, we got U.S. veterans on the team. We have a physician on the team. We've got mechanics, bankers, businessmen, lumbermen, roofers, and some retired guys. Oh, and then also we have public safety and some farmers. Of course, a lot of these guys are hardworking Western Kansas folks, and they have multiple jobs. So, you know, some guys farm all day, and then they may operate as an EMS person or maybe a firefighter with what they do for a normal job. So Very, very talented bunch. Very, very good operators. We got some of the best, I would say some of the very best CW operators and digital men on this team in Western Kansas and Eastern Colorado. So I'm very proud of these guys.
Knowing you for all the years that we have, and I figured you'd have this together, and boy, do you have it together. So I'll be trying to get in and say hi to you. Just look for the weakest signal in the pileup. That'll be me, okay?
And, I sure be listening I get... hard.
Yeah, that's right. Dial up that
parametric. It was great to work with you during the Kansas CUSO party, but yeah, turn it to the right, Bob. Turn it to the right.
Right. Well, I'm so happy for you, and we'll listen for W6M. I want all of you in the audience to look for Matt, as well as all of them. You enjoy that for a whole week. Now, when does it start, and when does it end?
September 12th through the 20th. We will try to have a station on the air during the week at late at night. Probably be kind of hard to do, but we'll have a presence somewhere as much as we possibly can. We really want to strive to make Whiskey 6 Mike on the air, and we want everybody to hear. So we're going to try real hard to make that happen.
Okay, Matt. Well, thanks for being with us. And we'll look for you. And, of course, on Tuesday night, your 160-meter net. That's a fun thing.
Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 1960, plus or minus. We're there every Tuesday night with winter coming on. Sure love to have any station anywhere check in. We have a different ham radio-related topic every week. When I got into ham radio, I'm not a weathernet guy or anything like that. I wanted to talk about ham radio. I wanted to talk about what's your favorite transmitting tube, what's your favorite preamp tube, which we all know is a 12AX7, and the 6L6 is our favorite audio amp, and why, you know? Yeah. And we've all learned, I think, and we just had the net the last night. We had 33 check-ins, and it was noisy. So, you know, we got a lot of people who love the net, and we love them guys to check in, so... Hopefully anybody out there on 160, give us a call.
Hopefully get something up from here. You take care. Thanks for being with us. We'll look for you on the W6M, and that's Saturday the 12th through the 20th. So you take care. We'll talk soon.
We'll do. Thank you for having us on and letting us talk about it.
Okay. All right.
Really appreciate your support in the hobby, Bob, and everybody that puts into this show. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we're always looking for clubs. You need to drop me an email, and let's get your club on here, too. We need to know more about what you're doing. And if you have any special events, hey, here's where you talk about them, right here. Wednesday nights. So please let us know about that. And Gordo, how are you doing? You all surviving all of this stuff with our mask and everything else?
Mm. We are. All is well here. And tonight we're going to talk about just what Matt is doing. But rather than working Route 66, we'll have an opportunity of getting a ton of folks on the air for Quartz Fest. Well, we're going to rename it. So if we go ahead and roll the Quartz Fest photos. Quartz Fest is in January, the third week. It's our 25th year of coming together as a ham community. But you know the rules. We can't come together as a ham community like the old days. Neil, W7FOG, is going to be out there. He lives in Quartzsite, Arizona, and he and Nisha will be ready to talk you in to Quartz Paws. Well, that's a name that we all came up with under the direction of Chris, KR1SS, our fearless leader. She has us all ready to roll independently for a ham fest that won't look like this. Nope, we won't be able to park right next door to each other. We've got to spread out. Do we have enough land to spread out? Hundreds of acres on Bureau of Land Management, free parking, no fee. And just be sure and bring everything out that you brought into the Quartz Fest area. We'll have a, no, we won't. There won't be a big gathering like this around the campfire. There'll be sessions. No, there won't be any sessions either in tents, because that would be a rule violation for too much of a gathering in one spot. So rather, those coming in their RVs or tents will just pick a spot and set up your antenna and get ready to talk. And there's no restrictions on antennas at Quartz Fest, and there's no restrictions on those legalized vehicles that will take you for a spin, as Steve and team are going to do all over the place. And there'll be plenty of rides available. So we're going to get into tea hunting via vehicles looking for hidden teas. We're going to get into geocaching, test our GPS skills. And that's Gary, Amateur Television Network Gary. He's going to get us into finding pieces of quartz, because you never know, this is also in the heart of gold country as well. So individually, not as a group, we're coming together at Quartz Paws. Tents are fine. Sorry, no lose, so you'll need to take out whatever you bring in. For staying warm in the tents, bring your smudge pot, fire that little guy off, and everybody stays warm. And sure, hang a big antenna outside your tent. And one-on-one, you can do whatever you want to do as long as you're wearing the mask and safely distancing for Quartz Paws this year, third week in January. No bulletin boards. Everything is going to be on the air. And thanks to Gary, he's even figured out a way to get Amateur Television Network and some of the individual presentations on cable channels 58 and 59. So in the convenience of your motorhome, you'll be able to watch a lot of interesting demos. The big picture show. No, we won't get together as tightly as this for a picture show. That's Tracy and Jody. Tracy and Jody, longtime Quartz Festers that have been helping keep things well organized. But luckily this year, we will not be organized other than staying individually separated. So thanks to Tracy and Jody for all their hard work. So, yeah, if someone has a projector and they're going to show a movie on the side of their vehicle, that's fine. Just, again, stay socially distanced. Rick Paquette always has his great hobo stew pots going for cast iron cooking. And, again, that's fine. But no, we will not have this year a big get-together, because that's what we are avoiding. Dogs, cats, gerbils, four legs, two legs, parrots, you name it, they're all welcome to Quartzsite. Just be cautious at night and cautious even during the day of critters that are wild critters that might want to come in and invade your area. There will not be the Quartz Fest pet parade. Again, we got to keep everybody separated. The Hootenanny. Oh, yeah, there's Russ on the right-hand side and his team. No, there won't be a Hootenanny, but I guarantee individual campfires will have a lot of things going on. There's Marilyn, 6MCJ, and she says, follow me. I've got some rocks I think you want to see. So a little gold panning and quartz and, by golly, look at that. So, yeah, individual quartz finding and gold panning will be fine at Quartz Fest. There's Neil, and he says, if you got a drone, bring it. And drones are fine for flying all over. Oh, there she is, having fun with all of the activities out there. Jerry Ellsworth is getting her antenna all tuned up. And we don't know if she'll be there and Amy this year, but by golly, there's plenty of room. And Chris is saying, while we won't have tents, there'll be plenty of activities for the ladies. And for those of us that like a swap meet, yep, could be every day, whatever you got, just leave it on the outside of your vehicle and we'll take it off your hand. Well, no, we'll pay for it, then take it off your hands. We're hoping Ray will be there as he's been there for the many, many years with ICOM America. He's got the right idea. It's a contact sport, but this year there'll be no close contacts, just radio contacts. And if you look at the antennas on the back of his vehicle for the VHF contest weekend, he's ready. And, of course, all the ICOMs are ready as well. Steve with the Wind System and all of the Wind System team will individually get together. We've got to separate ourselves, but they'll be training there. And there's plenty of room for those that either want to bring their vehicle or just come for a day. It's the third week of January in Quartzsite, Arizona. There'll be plenty of activities out in the wide open, purposely where we don't get together as a group. And just be sure and keep your GPS handy because that's a big desert out there and we don't want to get lost. Newsline, of course, Dee will have us well covered after the fact. And Neil, W6FOG, Purple Heart veteran, U.S. Army, he's going to be a friendly voice when you reach the area and come up on 146.550 Simplex, which will be our intercom. So we hope all of you will have an opportunity to consider Quartz Fest that is now called Quartz Pause, and we'll see plenty of sunsets. We'll see plenty of activities individually, and everybody will be on their own. There'll be no agenda other than hams having fun. And it's what Matt and Bob were saying, an opportunity this year, rather than one program after another after another. And they were great programs and all the years past. Now we'll have an opportunity to go one-on-one with a fellow ham and see what they're up to. So Quartz Pause, not Quartz Fest this coming year, third week in January. Hope to see you there. It's a week-long event, and fun will be had by all hams. So, Don, does that sound exciting? You want to come out to the desert and spend a little time with us, Don?
I have been wanting to do that for years. It's such a long trek from South Mississippi out there. But one of these years, when maybe after I retire, we have some time to come out there and do that. We love to camp, and it's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, and I just hope that it won't be too much longer before we can get the band back together, so to speak, and get all the close contact back together, the fun and the fellowship. That's what's going to be missing, I think, from Quartz Fest. The ham radio stuff's going to be great, but the one-on-one, the human touch is what I've been missing all year, and hopefully we can all...
And you're absolutely right, Don. In fact, the first couple of years that I attended Quartz Fest, the inaugural years, we had no programs. We just went one-on-one, and that's when I said, let's do some programs. Well, now, 25 years later, we're getting back to the good old days, Don.
Yeah, back to the roots of it. But, hopefully we can all kind of get back to a normal after 2020 is over. I'm hoping. Hey, here's what I want to know. You living out there in L.A., the report of an airliner coming into LAX, a couple of pilots thought they saw a guy in a jetpack? Who had that on their 2020 bingo card? I didn't have guy in a jetpack on an LAX approach on my 2020 bingo card. Did you?
Well, nothing surprises us in L.A. other than last night with two pilots of two different airlines going, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And it was indeed someone with a jetpack, we think.
That's crazy. Insane. All right, Gordon, thanks a lot. Let's go ahead and get into the news of the week with the Amateur Radio Newsline. We'll have the solar update from Dr. T. And then coming up after that, we'll figure out what George is up to. But first, here's the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. No jetpack stories this week. None at all. From Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2235, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. One of the latest institutions facing a crisis because of the COVID-19 pandemic is a national treasure in the UK with a reputation for being the epicenter of wartime code breaking.
The Bletchley Park Trust has said it lost more than 95% of its income between March and July as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and it has proposed a restructuring that would include elimination of as much as one-third of its workforce. Bletchley Park, like so many other heritage organisations, shut its doors on the 19th of March and reopened on a limited basis on the 4th of July. An estimated 85% of the Trust's staff was furloughed, and additional funding was obtained through the National Lottery Heritage Fund. The museum celebrates the heritage of the codebreakers of World War II, who operated there at the Milton Keynes Country House. It has since become home to the Radio Society of Great Britain's National Radio Centre, which operates an educational communications exhibit in partnership with the Bletchley Park Trust. It is also home to NRC's amateur radio station GB3RS. The National Radio Centre, however, remains closed until further notice. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Sometimes a contest is more than just a contest, especially during quarantine. In Australia, a group of YLs has set out to show us how it's done.
This year, the 40th annual contest of the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association, or ALARA, doesn't just provide an opportunity to do your best on the air. It's being seen as a way to chip away at the social isolation that has become so entrenched during this global pandemic. The contest begins Saturday, August 29 at 0600 UTC and finishes on Sunday the 30th at 0559 UTC. As Sue, VK5AYL contest manager for ALARA, said,
"We are really looking forward to hearing some young and new YLs in the contest this year and catching up with many amateurs along the way."
An ALARA contest page has been established on Facebook and its use is optional. It's available for hams to spot any contacts they've made with other YLs, but self-spotting is not permitted in this event. As organisers state on their Facebook page, and I quote, "We hope to meet you on the air." From Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB, 73 and 88.
While the Indianapolis 500-mile race ran without fans in the stands, thousands of amateur radio operators from around the world were still able to reach out and touch history in the making.
During the week prior to the 104th running of the Indy 500, members of the W9IMS Special Event Station ran their own seven-day marathon to log contacts in honor of the 500-mile race. Due to COVID-19 concerns, the race was moved from Memorial Day weekend to August 23rd to allow pandemic issues to run its course. Track officials had to ban fan participation at the last minute and only allowed race crews and officials inside the 2.5-mile oval. That didn't deter the W9IMS Special Event Club. Despite poor band conditions, they successfully operated for 7 days, taking check-ins on most of the HF bands. The 500-mile race stats are not in yet, but the crew reported over 5,200 contacts for the first two races this spring. W9IMS normally operates 3 weeks of special event stations, starting in May with the Indy Grand Prix, then the Indy 500, and then in July, the Brickyard 400. This year, every station who contacted W9IMS for all three races will receive a special certificate or QSL card. Check out the details on the W9IMS QRZ page. Reporting from Indianapolis for their Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Jack Parker, W8ISH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's a solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We have two snake-like filaments on the Earth-facing disk. One of them has already erupted, and it looks like the other one is just about to. Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather this week is definitely getting a bit exciting. Right now, we're already in the middle of some fast solar wind that has bumped us up to storm levels multiple times and has brought some gorgeous aurora to many parts of the world. But believe it or not, that's not the only story. As we take a look at our front side sun, you can see that coronal hole that's rotating in through the Earth strike zone right now. That's the coronal hole that's been sending us some fast solar wind, and it will continue to do so here over the next couple days before it settles down. But take a look at the east limb of the sun. Do you see see all those bright regions? And if you look closely, do you see those little snake-like filaments up there? Oh my goodness, on the 31st, the one that's furthest to the east, whammo, do you see that? It launches as a solar storm, and it looks like it's going to head toward the Stereo spacecraft, but we're paying attention to it. And because it launched, it looks like it destabilized this other one that's in the middle of the Earth-facing disk right now. And if that one goes, it sure could be Earth-directed. Now, switching to our far-sighted sun, this is Stereo A, and it's looking at the sun pretty much from the side. On the 31st, if you look in the north, whoosh, do you see that? Now, that's the filament eruption that we saw on the front-sighted sun, but it's headed far more towards Stereo, so we got a better look at it. And if that solar storm passes over Stereo, which it probably will over the next couple days, we'll get a nice heads up to know how strong these solar storms might be, especially with that one filament that has yet to erupt that might actually launch toward Earth if it does erupt. So that's a good heads up for us. Meanwhile, in the southern hemisphere, you can see a couple bright regions that are rotating into Stereo's view. Those regions will also rotate into Earth view here in about 3 to 4 days, and they could boost the solar flux and help emergency communications and amateur radio operators. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are continuing to be hit by that fast solar wind from the coronal hole that's rotating in through the Earth strike zone. So we're going to continue to expect to get a little bit more storming before things calm down. Now, at high latitudes, NOAA is expecting active conditions with up to about a 40% chance of a major storm. So this is really giving some good shows of aurora at high latitudes. Now, mid-latitudes, we're still expecting unsettled conditions, but we do have up to about a 10 to 15% chance of a minor storm. So you mid-latitude aurora photographers, you know, there is a chance of these things brightening a bit, so you can catch a show, but you're going to have to be pretty patient. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything continues to be in the green when it comes to big solar flares. We have a spotless disk right now, so we have no risk for radio blackouts, and that should make you GPS users on Earth's day side very happy. On Earth's day side, we have pretty good GPS reception right now. I'm not quite so sure about the Earth's night side right now with the fast solar wind. That could be a problem for you, but at least the day side's pretty good. Now, we also have solar flux hanging on to the low 70s. We are just barely at the hairy edge of marginal for radio propagation on Earth's day side, and that's probably getting messed up a little bit by that fast solar wind, especially on Earth's night side. You're going to expect some sporadic disruptions easily over the next couple days, but at least we are managing to hang on to that low 70s, and we do have some bright regions rotating into Earth view here over the next probably 3 or 4 days, and that could boost that radio propagation back up a bit. So just hang in there, and we'll get through this. Now, also, because we are still climbing out of solar minimum, the cosmic ray flux is a bit more intense than we'd like it to be. So you frequent flyers, and this does include air crew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes, you are in the marginal range for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the space weather this week is definitely getting exciting. We're in the middle of some fast solar wind right now that has bumped us up to storm levels and could easily do so again. So your aurora photographers, if you're at high latitudes, of course you're getting a wonderful show. But if you're at mid latitudes, well, you know, as long as you're dedicated, you could catch some of these intensifications, but you got to be willing to wait for those substorms. So take advantage of them. Now, we also have, on top of that, a filament eruption that launched toward the Stereo spacecraft. Now, this one isn't Earth-directed, but it, you know what? It looks like it's destabilized the other filament that, if it launched, could actually send us an Earth-directed solar storm, so yet another chance for aurora. So we're going to be watching that quite closely. Now, amateur radio operators and emergency responders, well, you know, this fast solar wind is sure messing things up on Earth's night side for you, I bet. Now, on Earth's day side, you should be getting some marginal radio propagation, but on Earth's night side, you're just going to have to wait for a few days for this solar storm to kind of calm down. But we do have a reprieve, because we do have some bright regions that are going to be rotating into Earth view here over the next couple days, and that could boost that solar flux up for you a bit and improve that radio propagation. So just hang in there. I promise things will get better. Now, also, you GPS users, well, you know what? GPS reception on Earth's day side should be pretty nice. You shouldn't have any issues, but man, again, that fast solar wind on the Earth's night side, that could definitely be messing you up a little bit. So as long as you stay away from aurora and away from those dawn dust terminals, your GPS reception should hang in there. I'm Tamitha Scove, the Space Weather Woman. Thank you for watching.
Good stuff, Dr. T. Thank you so much. Always follow her on Twitter at Tamitha Scove. There's her website, spacedweatherwoman.com. Also, YouTube, Tamitha Scove. She posts all of her videos on there as well. So a great follow on Twitter and just a great resource. And yeah, the daytime has been a lot better than the nighttime, it seems like, lately. Especially I noticed that during the K5R 15th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina and Rita activation last weekend. In fact, Sunday, I was talking with my friend Charlie Wooten, NF4A, over in the Florida Panhandle, and we're on 40, and he's 20, 30 over, as he always is. And he's like, "Do you hear that Heterodyne? Sounds like a broadcaster coming out." I said, "No, I don't hear it yet." He said, "Well, you'll hear it in the next 20 minutes or so, I bet you." And he went in the course of about 30 seconds of conversation from 20 over just gradually to nothing. And then in came the Heterodyne from the broadcaster. It was amazing just to watch the band close down. And I had to text him. I said, "Charlie, I can't hear anymore." He says, "Yep, it changed that fast." So, yeah, can't wait for Solar Maximum. It's going to be a fun time, I do believe. But we got to get through this first. And it's on its way back up. So, good news. Anyway, thanks, Dr. T. Appreciate you. We also appreciate George. And he's coming up next with Smoke and Solder after this word from ICOM.
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion, as you have base station features and functionality at the tips of your fingers and a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at 1 kilo or just over 2 pounds. With RF direct sampling for most of the HF band and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 MHz. 5-watt battery operation with BP272 or 10 watts with a 13.8-volt DC supply. Modes include single sideband, CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star functions. A large 4.3-inch color touchscreen and live band scope with waterfall. Integrated GPS with antenna and GPS logger, micro USB connector, Bluetooth, and wireless LAN, and there's a micro SD card slot. It comes standard with the HM243 speaker microphone, and it supports QRP and QRPP operations. The perfect accessory for the IC705 is the LC192 optional backpack with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda activations or just a day in the park. The IC705 has now received FCC certification, and ICOM expects products to be shipping to dealers by the end of September. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information about this and all the great ICOM radios. And ICOM invites you to enter weekly after each episode of Ham Nation by going to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and register. You can win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats, and learn how you'll be entered in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio for September. That is the ICOM IC2730A dual band, dual watch mobile, simultaneous VHF, UHF, VHF, VHF, or UHF, UHF receive, large high contrast display for easy visibility, rugged mill standard 810 construction, weather channel receive with weather alert, and there's an optional Bluetooth module available, and free downloadable programming software. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And one other radio you might like to win would be the new ICOM IC705. Well, I know where you can pick up one of those. Coming up for the 15th anniversary of AmateurLogic.tv in October, we will be giving away a special prize package here, including the ICOM IC705 QRP transceiver, as well as that utility backpack, an MFJ 2289 PKG big ear antenna package, including the carry bag, an MFJ 4115 portable 12-volt power supply,
And you may want a nice headset to go with this, so we're including the Heil BM17 headset, designed for emergency communications, but also great for portable operation. And you'll need some coax to hook that antenna up, so a little MFJ RG8X. And we're also throwing in a set of Forest Mims mini notebooks, courtesy of Master Publishing and W5YI. You know, we've looked at these mini notebooks before. You'll get the whole set, as well as the latest newest edition of Getting Started in Electronics. That'll be coming your way, too. That's amateurlogic.tv/contest, and find out how to register right there. Tonight for Smoke and Solder, Bob has something special for us. I haven't had a day off in a couple of weeks. I've had a lot of various transmitter issues scattered all over the place. You know, we just had that storm come through, so a lot of extra work for me and no real weekend. So anyway, Bob, what have you got for our Smoke and Solder people tonight? Special project?
Well, I do hope that you keep all those transmitters on the air. It's a lot of work, let me tell you. But you're the master at that, so have at it. I'm glad to give you a little vacation, so to speak. You don't have to worry about this tonight because we got it covered. And we got it covered by MFJ. MFJ is really a big supporter of what George and I do here because they're always sending us little pieces to try and use and all that. Well, when I moved here to, not that we left here, but, you know, we've always had this home in Illinois. Well, it goes back to 84, but still. I had taken all the antennas down, sold all the towers and stuff when we moved down to the Ozarks. But when I came back, I didn't have any. And I really didn't want to do that. I didn't want to put up a 70, 80-foot tower, kind of thinking down the line. I'm going to be 80 years old next month. I know I don't look it. I don't feel it. I take no pills. My doctors, they make no money with me. But I just don't want to have a bunch of towers and stuff that maybe when I do get down the line, I have to worry about. So we did I'll do a story on that, too. We did a Glenn Martin roof mount. It's working great. But what I do about long wires, these lots that we're in this subdivision are only about 120 foot long. Now, what in the world am I going to do? I only had trees, now only two of them on one side, and I ain't going to get it. I tried doing a couple of things, had noise all over the place. So here's what I did. Now, check this out. If you're piddling around with something out, listen to this. This is very cool. This is one lot. Next to me is another. And next to Rick, next door, is another. And these two ladies, one day I asked them, hey, could I borrow your tree? Everybody in Belleville knows I'm crazy. And I talked to them what I wanted to do. And they said, well, we don't even know it'll be there. So, okay. So I had one end. Got it. I had one end of my antenna, 75 meters. I need 120 feet. So what I did is I shot a cannon up into there. I got a really great friend, Mike W9MW. He got a cannon. He can put that sucker about 200 foot in the air, which he did. Got over their 70-foot tree, and then we put it up over my 70-foot tree. Rick's underneath. You have to be very careful about your neighbors. You want to make good friends with them. You know, really be good friends. Don't worry about TVI because that's out anymore. Don't worry about it. So here's what I did. First of all, I was really happy that I talked to MFJ about this, and they said, well, we've got something that would work. So they sent me this. What is that? It's a fiberglass push-up pole. Really? They sent me three of them. Now, that gray one, that son of a gun, goes up to 45 feet, I think. And I think the middle one might do it. I haven't started playing with it yet. And the other one's about a good 15 or 20. So I took this this big dog, really heavy. You can see all of the sections of it, but I had to put these clamps on it so that when it's all put together, you can pull them out and clamp them down. It really worked great. And I had this fence that divides Rick's home. You see the brick wall of his garage and our place. Well, here we go. I had to make a dipole. Well, I got out my, I have a really cool, it's a fabric ruler that I think it's 120 foot in there that rolls out. So got out my trusty old iPhone and figured out it was going to be somewhere around 60 foot side. Okay. So I did that. And then I took the antenna that that they had sent. I drive a screwdriver in the ground with the ring on the ruler. Now, here you go. What do you do for that wire? That wire is important. Let me show you what they have. This is incredible stuff. You can tow a train with this. It's really, really strong. But look, you can hardly see it. It's really something. So I made this antenna, 75 meters, and wow, we got something going on here. Now, when you unroll this, don't just throw it on the ground. You want to unroll it the way it was made. Remember, I've told you several times about when wire is made, it's made hot. So it has a memory. And if you try to defy it, especially with an antenna wire, you're going to be in trouble. So you unroll that. I rolled that little guy out and got my dimensions. Now I'm going to ask you a question. This is something that the chat room might have an answer for, because I'm not going to answer it. I'll see if anybody has an answer. This is an insulator for the end of it. And I want to know why some of these insulators have those little ribs on them. You ever think about that? See, I think a lot of this. When I go to bed at night, these are the kind of things that keep me awake. Like, why is that all set up like that? Hey, it's an insulator. Answer that question, okay? I went ahead and did my thing there and got that all set up, ready to go. But here's what I did. I thought this was ingenious. I put that pole on our fence, and you can see it going out to the ladies over the top and up to my other tree. But here's the cool thing. Can you see it? It's really hard to see, and I really like that because it's a, okay, call it a stealth, whatever you want. It's not a bunch of big old black coax hanging up there or any kind of wire. You can hardly see this, and it's very strong. So I was really happy to put all this together. But now, ladies and gentlemen, check this out. See that SWR meter? We're at 3885, my wonderful AM frequency. I know you're going to say, what are you doing on FM? Because in this transceiver, on FM, it's full power. On AM, it backs it down to 50 watts because you can't run that much power. So anyway, you're not supposed to. Anyway, look at that. Now, check this out. At 3,800, when I went down there, it was 1.5. All the way up to 3990, it was still absolutely flat. Now, let's see if you agree. If I would have added a little more to the antenna, a little longer, it would probably be totally flat from 4 megs all the way down past the where we are with, come on here, past the 3800. I never worked down into there, and I'm not worried about it. With 1.5, that's a dream. You'll never see the difference. And if you don't agree with me, notice the power. The power has not folded back. If there was high SWR and it didn't like it, that wouldn't be 200 watts. It'd be like 100 or 100 and a half, whatever. So it really worked out great. I was so thrilled. And again, it using just simple things that are available to you from MFJ, DX Engineering also has one of those push-up poles with the clamps on it. My neighbor put up a flagpole a couple weeks ago, and his new flagpole has those clamps on them. How cool. And I thought we'd do a little story for you if you're having thoughts about an antenna, because this is the time. You better get ready for it. We're going to be talking a lot about antennas here. But this stuff is amazing from MFJ. I also made one on 40 meters, and I was able to put that between two trees I have on my own lot here. And, you know, with something up 70 feet, it really worked so good. So there you have it on what to do when you're trying to think antennas, push-up poles. And you say, well, I don't have a center support. Yes, you do. Yeah. Yeah. Get you one of those push-up poles, and away you go. So I'll come back next week. I still got a lot of stuff about antennas that we've done here, but I wanted to let you know how cool that was, and it works so well. But see, people like Amanda and Ollie, they have acres, so they don't have to worry about it. Is that right, Amanda? You got a couple of acres there, don't you?
No, it feels like it when I mow it. but it's only a half an acre. But yeah, no, we do have a beautiful yard, though. We have enough to put up a nice tower where we know we feel safe if it were to fall over one way or the other, God forbid, it won't fall into a neighbor's yard. So that was just number one requirement. Is wherever we move, the tower, if it falls, has to fall completely in our yard. That's a weird rule.
Yes. That's great. Well, I hope that you and Jeff are doing good, and thought we'd do some antenna stuff. So let's see what you got tonight. I hope that you're doing well.
Oh, we are doing well. The fires are getting a little bit better. The weather's cooling down quite a bit here in Colorado. As soon as September 1st hits, I'll tell you that the mountains change, and it's a lot more humid and a lot cooler. So they're getting those fires under control here in Colorado. But, Bob, I had some answers. Or some guess, I guess you can say, for your question about the ribs. So K9 ID, he said, difficult path when wet. N4 ACB said dielectric length. Maybe that might have been an answer to the rib. And then Bill W6QR says the ribs increase the voltage rating. And my brother Andy, AA0WX, says, I have 13 ribs and 120 volts still hurts. So I don't know what your theory was, Bob, but that was some of the chat room theories.
Well, I think a couple of guys got it. The fact that, you know, it's real simple. Let's do this here. If you just had an insulator that had a hole in each end, it's going to be a straight wire. But if you did one that have ribs, it gives you, if you measure all the distance, it takes that insulator, or makes that insulator really longer than it is. So whatever comes out here is not going to get here as fast as it does here. So that's exactly what it does. It slows down anything that would be causing problems. And I learned that as a young kid back in the days when I had Elmers that knew all this stuff and I didn't. And sometimes I don't think I still do a lot of it, but okay. But that's the answer. Thank you.
All right. Good job there, chat room. I put Victor on a mission here. I want to brag about my sister, Valerie. She's not my real sister. Look at who made the cover of CQ Magazine. Congratulations, Val and Jerry. You guys look great. Really good. Awesome article, by the way, and it was really fun to read. So I hope everyone else enjoyed it. If you get CQ Magazine, that is. If not, Maybe you should look at getting a subscription. It's not too much money there. So good looking couple.
Amanda. All right. Amanda, yes. if you don't have a subscription, you need to do it, because you know who writes really good articles for CQ?
Do I get three guesses?
Yeah. No, one. Because you should know. It's not me.
Joe Eisenberg. Is that correct?
That's one.
Okay.
Let me help you out here. His initials are Gordon West.
Ah, Gordo.
Gordon's been writing for them for years, and it's just, he writes so good. And if you don't get CQ, I know what you're going to tell me, because I did the same thing a few years. It ended up about this thick, and there wasn't anything in it. Well, they turned it around big time, and now it's as good as I think it's ever been. You guys agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love Joe Eisenberg's kit stuff. And did you know that Joe got that gig writing for CQ in my car at the Huntsville Ham Fest?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, it's really good. Really good.
It's good stuff. It's a great magazine.
Yeah, it really is. This is August. I got the current one in the other room I'm reading, but this was one I had finished reading. But I don't throw them away, because you never know when you're going to need the refer.
So I have the digital subscription.
Speaking of things that are subscription-based, I'm sure everyone saw the news about the FCC wants to impose a $50 fee to get your amateur radio license. I was kind of blown away by that high of a price, personally. And I was thinking about adding it up, well, first you got to take the license. So you're going to pay $15 to some places that do ARRL testing, and then you got to pay $50 to get your actual call sign and stuff. And then you got to buy a radio. So I think people are really freaking out about this. Bob, what are your thoughts?
I don't like it, because there's a lot of young people that we're trying to attract to this wonderful thing we call amateur radio. And if they have to come up with $50, that might be tough for them. Whereas if it was like, $10 or $15, they could handle that. And I don't know why they came up with this $50 thing. Our government can afford it. But look what it's going to do, the technology base. We're going to get these youngsters in. And maybe not youngsters. They could be people that are older and retired that want to get into it, but we shouldn't have any kind of things like $50. I wish Gordo was still here. I tried to stay away from that subject until one night when I got a little more about it and get Gordo in here. We'll do that maybe next week, because I know he has a lot to do, because he writes some of the helps write some of the questions. But I personally don't think that they should put that kind of fee on. They can put a little bit, but not a whole bunch, Amanda.
I'm the same. And when we're trying to get students, in fact, I'm working with some high school kids right now that are getting ready to make their first International Space Station contact out of John F. Kennedy High School in Denver. If I were to approach them and say, well, we're going to try to get you licensed, but your parents all have to shell out $50 a piece, I mean, that's going to be a no.
Yep.
So it is a difficult, and it just came from out of nowhere, it seems like. I'm sure we're all on the same page on that. It looks like the chat room agrees. Yes, it's a pretty high fee. A nominal fee would be acceptable.
Make sure you go online and share your comments, because it's a notice of proposed rulemaking, and the public comment period, I think, if it's not open now, it will be soon. ARRL in QST and on ARRL website, they have a news story on that, and I believe it lists a link for the docket number and a link to where you can go and put your public comments in. And by all means, make your voice heard, because if you don't say anything, your opinion doesn't count if you don't give it. So, yeah. Right. They're also proposing $50 for a vanity call. So let's say you go and you're one of these people who is becoming a whole lot more common now that go from zero to hero, go from no license at all to an extra, and then you want to get a 2x2 alpha call, which is only extra. So now you've got a $50 fee for your license plus a $50 fee for the vanity call. And that's, it's amortized over 10 years. It's not that much, but having to come up with that all at once, I think it's a bit much. There it is right there. And go check that out on the ARRL website. What is that docket number? I know the docket number is on there. I just can't see it. My eyes are old. But nonetheless, go check it out, ARRL. And if you don't subscribe to the ARRL, you're not a member. A, you should be, but B, if you're not, just Google it and you'll find it. There's several ham radio YouTubers who have made videos on that already. And of course, a lot of social media presence on Facebook from people in some of the league pages. So by all means, make your opinion known to the FCC, because that's how things get changed.
Absolutely. I would not have become a ham if it had been $50. I did it on a dare, basically, from Jeff. Had it have cost $50, there's absolutely no way I would ever have been licensed. That would have been a ridiculous price for something I wasn't sure I was going to enjoy in the first place. So I find this really sad. All right. So just one more thing to wrap up here. Don, you didn't tell us. How was K5R this weekend? How'd you do?
It was a lot of fun. Conditions were not the best, but the enthusiasm was high. We had four operators, two on phone, two on CW. I don't know what the contact numbers were for the CW guys. I haven't talked to them. As a husband and wife team, by the way, John and Judy, A5UY and A5UZ in Slidell, Louisiana, or Pearl River, Louisiana, actually. And my good friend KD5PCK up in the Hammond, Louisiana area spearheaded it, and I joined in. I made about 160-some-odd contacts, I think, over the three-day period. And Scott did slightly less than that, I believe. He was also working some QRP National Parks on the Air activations as well out there. So he was double dipping. He was doing NPOTA plus K5R. But it was a good time. We had a great time. And a lot of Ham Nation viewers made contact with me and shared their love of what we do here. So if you're in my log or any of our logs at K5R, thanks a lot for making it a fun weekend. And for helping us remember a life-changing event that happened a decade and a half ago. That was Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. So, yeah, it was a good time.
All right. Well, let's just go over the nets here real quick. Like W7UDI, Steve, he cannot run the 20-meter net this evening. He is out fighting those wildfires. So he's on the line. God bless you, Steve, and thanks for everything you do. Second, we have 71.92 for the 40-meter net. And D-Star, we have 14, Charlie, DMR, 31.012. That's what I've got this evening. Thanks, everyone. Nice to see you all.
Good job, Amanda. Nice to have you here. George, go get those babies all fired up. What kind of tube you use? You use a 6L6 in that transmitter? Or?
It's a little bit bigger than that. Well, one of them is a 50-kilowatt solid state, so no tubes. But the other two that I had issues with run a 4CX 15,000, which is, the heat sink's about that big around, and it's about that tall. So, it looks like, one of these ceramic tubes we use in our amplifier on steroids.
Big ones, yeah. Well, we'll look forward to what all we have next week. I'll tell you, it's been crazy around here. I spent the day with my sweetheart. And this sweetheart, we spent 4 hours on him today. Since we moved it back from Pleasant Hope, it was in the larger room down there. Although this room sounds better, I had to spend time with the Allen guys and Allen Oregon guys. And we ended up having to revoice it. And that's what I learned from the organ world of voicing pipes. That's how I learned to listen, the harmonics and so on. And that's what we had to do today. And I haven't done it for
a
long
Bob,
time. Yeah.
Before we get out of here, speaking of your sweetheart, we must mention that the lovely Sarah celebrated a birthday last week. I'm not going to give the number, because a gentleman doesn't tell and a lady wouldn't want me to. But she is looking fine as red wine. Happy birthday, Sarah. We love you.
Thank you. Yes, she was going to come on with Gracie, but she took out, we walk her every night. And they took off on a walk, and they must have met up with some neighbors. But I'll have her come back next week and talk to you. But thank you very much for thinking of my sweet Sarah. And, yep, she's doing well. We go tomorrow for one of the monthly checkups at the Siteman Cancer Center. She's just fine, but we're going to make sure she stays fine. They'll check her numbers and all that. I'll be sure and tell her that you thought of her, and probably be some people in the chat room. So thank you very much. Well, we better wind it up because you know what I'm going to do? I'm headed over there. I'm looking at it. That I think I showed you one night. We're going to do that one of these nights. We're going to take videos of each of our shacks as to what we see, not what the audience sees. Let you see what we do. But anyway, I'm going to head over to the organ, and I can't wait to play it because it sounds a little better. Thanks for joining us. Be sure and stay safe, and we'll see you back here next week. So have all your buddies and your friends join us. So bye-bye for now. This is K9EID. See ya.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Ant Pruitt, host at Twit TV. Got a question for you. Have you gotten tired of how bad your photos are looking every time you post them to Instagram? Better yet, have you gotten yourself a new camera and you can't quite figure out why the images just don't look that good? Well, I have a solution for you. This is my show, Hands-On Photography. Each and every Thursday, I sit down and share different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer and a better post processor. So subscribe today at twit.tv/hop to learn more.